have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I don't wanna pretend, I don't wanna play games. Can't lie to myself, not one more day. Been trying to deal with some things that hard to talk about. I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts. Been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. Can't solve the problems tonight, just gonna have to get used to me not being around.
Well, here we are again for another podcast. I want to thank you to our listeners for tuning into the Jadusa Live podcast. I am Cynthia Bennett, your host. And as always, I want to take a second to thank the owner of Elations Radio, Miss Kimmy Robinson. Here on the Jadusa Live podcast, we talk about issues, stories, resources, events. All of these are ways to eradicate abuse, all forms of abuse of all kinds in the community. And we do this through education, edification, and encouragement. Tonight, before we get started, I want to talk about our upcoming event, which is July the 24th. That is on a Saturday. It is called the Dignity Drive. This is our annual event that we host in the summer. We provide toiletries to our local shelters, domestic violence, sexual violence shelters, teens, group homes, and homeless shelters, as well as the community. If they come out, we provide them with toiletries. Our toiletries include bath gels, flip-flops, deodorant, things of the nature that a person can take care of themselves. So we are asking you for your donations. We're asking for donations up until the 20th of July. That will give us time to bag up the items for the curbside pickup. However, if you don't have items or you don't have time to get those items, you can go to our website at jadusa.org, J-A-D-A-S-A.org. See the flyer on the front page. You also can see the items that we are requesting to make it to show you how your $20, if you want to give $10 or your $20 or $5, how it can stretch. If you go to the Dollar Tree store and you have $10, you can get 10 pairs of flip-flops, you can get 10 bottles of bath gels, you can get 10 bottles of deodorant. That will make your dollars go further to service the community. That's just an example that I'm putting out there that is by no way telling you how to spend your money. Just an example to put it out there. Now, if you don't have the time to actually go get the items and bring them up to us, you can also go to our PayPal at Jadusa PayPal, and you can pay, get your donations that way, or you can go to the Cash App. Jadusa STL is the Cash App where you will see our J logo, and you can make your donations that way. And at the end of the year, you will receive your tax contribution letter so that you can write it off with your taxes. But most importantly, you will be helping those in need in the community. So again, it is Saturday, July the 24th. We are asking you to come from 10 to 1 o'clock. It is going to be at our location, the Resource Building, the St. Peter's UCC Resource Building, where we are located. So that being said, I want to get that out the way. Again, I want to thank you guys for coming on to our Blog Talk Radio to listen. Tonight we have an author here by the name of Felice Shakirksey, and dynamic person, and she has written a book called From Darkness to Destiny. And so I want to ask everybody to give a hand clap or applause for Miss Felice Shakirksey for coming on tonight. Felice, you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to pivot a little bit from different from the platform we were on, because this particular platform, it is a Christian radio station. However, we deal with abuse in the community, whether it's in church, streets, whatever. And so I kind of want to pivot your book towards what can the church, community, to help somebody who went through what you went through. I want you to kind of share your story, and you can share it in however way you want to share. But I want you to, give our viewers a picture of, you know, high level, however high level you want to make it, what you went through, and where the church come in, because we need to know how we can meet the needs in the community. We have to know how we're going to educate, edify, and encourage those in our community who's dealing with all types of abuse, domestic, sexual, you know, financial, self-abuse. I know you talked about self-medicating. You know, so can you kind of share mm-hmm. with us the nature of your book, From Darkness to Destiny?
So my journey from darkness to destiny is pretty much my drug addiction and moving on, you know, out of that darkness and now to a lifestyle that is clean and sober and stable. But as far as the church and as far as what the experiences that, you know, where spiritually we can be more effective in helping people with illnesses and diseases and disorders is sometimes we're, you know, we're not meeting people where they are and we're not meeting the basic needs. And so everybody does not understand spirituality, or everybody does not understand, you know, sometimes the way the church works. So coming at individuals, sometimes super spiritual, can be a turnoff, and it can be more of a hindrance and a hurt than a help. And people are not doing it intentionally. I don't believe anybody in church or anybody that is a, you know, child of God or that has been on that assignment or mission to assist in saving souls. I don't believe that people are intentionally, you know, hurting people. But sometimes we, as you know, spiritual beings, are not necessarily looking at help and assistance as just meeting people where they are and not, you know, automatically trying to get people saved or get, you know, church members or you know, make people join your church. Everybody's not ready for that. So we have to be in the mind frame or the understanding that you help people first, and that will draw them if it is God's will for them to be there. And it's God's will for us, to all of us, to be saved. However, it just may not be in the timing that we're, you know, looking at. Of course, we want people to be saved, and we want people to be in church, and we want, you know, souls to be delivered. But we have to use wisdom in winning souls, and wisdom in drawing people with love and meeting needs before we can get people saved and in our church.
Awesome. So you said earlier that, you know, maybe a minute or so ago, that, you know, they may not understand spirituality and stuff. So, and that's true. So do you think it would be beneficial for the church, in order to meet the needs of the community, to have some kind of training in place? You know, we're not asking them to all be, you know, we're not asking them all to be, you know, MSWs or LPCs, you know, but at least deal with the basic needs, where when you know it's over your head, because I always tell the church, when we doing that stuff and we're talking about abuses, I said, one thing you all cannot be, you cannot be the one-stop shop. You can't do that.
Absolutely.
Because
I'm glad you, sorry, go ahead.
I was just telling not to be the one stop. Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have to be trained to recognize trauma, and not just, you know, everything is not about just prayer. Prayer definitely works and prayer helps. But we have to recognize trauma, and we have to recognize mental illness for what it is. And it's not a one-stop shop. It is, you know, directing people to get professional help. Just like, you know, you're in a marriage and you need counseling. You pray about it. You invite God in, but you seek that professional help. You go to the doctor. You need a doctor. You pray over, but you seek professional. You seek a doctor when you're sick. So in the same sense, when you have mental illness or when you have drug abuse, you direct people to professional people that can help them with those illnesses and those, you know, traumas that people are experiencing, because, you know, Sunday morning service is just not going to be the be-all, end-all for some of the trauma that people are experiencing. So, yes, I believe that we, once we – once we are, you know, saved and once we are aware, then yes, I would definitely feel like, you know, it's a benefit to get some training, you know, even do some PD, you know, some, you know, bring in some professionals to teach, you know, even the ministers or just, you know, in the church, we need training and we need to be able to recognize signs of abuse and trauma.
Exactly. And so with that being said, I always tell them the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence, in my view, is being there, simply being there, mm-hmm. being in the moment with them. You know, you mm-hmm. may not know everything. You may not know what to say or what to do, but just being there. Sometimes mm-hmm. you don't have to have all the answers. Just let them talk mm-hmm. and be there and just say, hey, okay, what do you want to do? They may say, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. Okay, well then mm-hmm. let's work. Let's get some help. I'm going to be here with you. Walk with them. Be with them. You know, go through the next step with them. Don't send them. You know, because if they could send themselves, mm-hmm. they probably wouldn't have came to you in the first place. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I wanted to bring that out because, you know, as you said, in the African-American community, mental illness is often frowned upon as someone being weak. And also, and I've heard actually another advocate say that deals with mental illness, it doesn't always mean that when they come to the altar, it's the devil.
Right.
As far as, or you possessed. You know what I mean? You have to know when it's the devil and when it's mental illness. The mental illness
right.
that is going to take some medication. But if you don't know that, then what you do, you refer them to somebody else. And I think that's what the church
Absolutely.
Needs to do. They need to get into some partnership with these agencies
mm-hmm.
and these, you know, to help
with
the people
because yeah.
we got a lot of sick people
Absolutely.
Sitting up in the church.
Absolutely. And it's going to take more than the Holy Ghost. It's going to take more than, you know, praying over somebody, which, again, don't get me wrong, we need that. We absolutely have to have
right.
that. We need God.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to, again, be educated. We need to be trained in areas that, like I said, Sunday morning service, Bible study is just not going to do it. It's going to
right.
help. But, again, we have real people with real problems and real issues. And everybody's not ready for a church, you know. Everybody's not ready for, you know, the whole politics of, you know, the, you know, church etiquette and just sitting in church and, you know, you get your deliverance. But, you know, the key point that you said, absolutely, that we need to be trained to meet people where they are and give people the help that they need, that is going to be more than coming to church and you know, experiencing, you know, God. People need medication. People need therapy. People need counseling. People need help. So, yeah, I agree. You know, we have to do better. We have to do more than just be a building for people to come in. We need to be going out into the community. We need to be, you know, again, referring people or having somebody even there on site. You know, we used to have nurses in the
mm-hmm.
church, you know, and
mm-hmm.
so that's not
right.
a bad idea to have trained professionals, you know, again, to recognize some of those things and even just be able to a social worker in the church. You know,
mm-hmm.
again, back in the day, we had nurses. You have physical illnesses and sicknesses, and so we need to be evolved to know that mental illness is real and it's getting worse, you know, and to
yeah.
have somebody there to recognize
that. And then we also, as the church,
that.
Have to learn how to listen. You know, we so quick to want to, you know, well, let me tell you what the Lord said, and let me tell you this, and we so quick to want to, you know, put them on the right and narrow path and say, yeah, we do, but
mm-hmm.
it's a process right now. And that's
mm-hmm.
something that we have to, as a church, and I'm saying we because both of us Christian, but I always tell people,
mm-hmm.
you know, I deal with abuse regardless in the community, and I put that out there, whether they saved, not saved, same sex, I deal with the abuse. Now, I just happen to be
mm-hmm.
a Christian over an organization, but I'm dealing with the community. There's all walks
mm-hmm.
of people in the community, and everybody is not in church. Everybody don't want to go to church. Everybody don't, you know, you just have to meet them.
Absolutely.
Now, if they ask something about Jesus, then that's your open door. But right now,
right.
deal
Absolutely.
With the human side first, and we have to
mm-hmm.
learn to listen to them. And then if we know if it's something that's above our head, don't go telling them something that you don't know what you're talking about, because that could come back on
Absolutely.
You and the church.
Absolutely.
And
I
have case studies
Absolutely.
About that. Churches that were sued
mm-hmm.
behind this. And so it's
mm-hmm.
going to take, like you said, we're educating the community about this. And your book talks about that. You talked about, you know, even when you went, the many times you went to church and, you know, you knew you was struggling, but you wanted the Holy Ghost and you know, you wanted some answers. You was looking for help, you know, and the thing about it, I looked at it too. You talked about looking for help in all the wrong places. And even though
mm-hmm.
you were at the church, it was still the wrong place because the people wasn't in place.
Mm-hmm.
The people that
mm-hmm.
you know that you needed to be in place to help you was not in place to help you. So you left back out broken, and
mm-hmm.
that's why we have to be careful that we don't re-traumatize people.
Mm-hmm. So even with that being said, addiction is an illness. It is an illness, and
mm-hmm.
it's not going to just be you can't pray it away. You can't,
right.
you know, just, you know, beat somebody with a Bible and, you know, come to church, come to church, come to church. People need professional help. And again,
mm-hmm.
Cocaine addiction, crack addiction, it is a illness. And so, yes, you have to get the, you know, yes, you come to church, yes, you see God, but you need something outside of just a church building. And, you know, even the people, like you said, the people in, you know, in the four walls of the church, if people are not trained to recognize addiction, and everybody's just saying, just say no, just don't pick it up, just put it down. You can do it, you know, with willpower. You know, you don't have faith. And so we have to recognize addiction, and we have to direct people to the right places to get the help, along with being in church, along with, you know, prayer, and along with doing those things that will lead you, you know, to God in the way that you understand it. Because sometimes it's over our head, you know, that person that's struggling, it is over their head. Everybody don't know scriptures. And, you know, just because you've beaten them with scripture and with the Bible and with the word, it doesn't mean that they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we have to meet people where they are and recognize that everybody, you know, I had a saved father. I had a pastor for a father. Everybody don't have that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that not everybody know the word or know how to get to God or know how to get, you know, the right type of assistance. So, yeah.
So what would be some of the things that that would be beneficial? I mean, what can a church, say for instance, someone that's listening right now and they agreeing,
mm-hmm.
What's the first step? What can they do? Because if somebody come and knock on the door, you know, because the church is, you know, the church was supposed to be, and it is, it's supposed to be the beacon in the community, you know, because if you notice in St. Louis
mm-hmm.
City, every neighborhood, they had a church in it, especially when we was growing
mm-hmm.
up. Every neighborhood had a church in it, whether you went to that church or not.
Mm-hmm.
Every neighborhood
mm-hmm.
had a church in it, and it was a beacon. So what can the church do? Because, you know, we are losing people by the droves, and we
mm-hmm.
have to come and meet them, because a lot of times people ain't coming up into the church because, one, they've been hurt
mm-hmm.
by the church.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't coming. So what can
mm-hmm.
they do? Like in your situation, you know, your dad was a pastor, but you still felt a barrier when you did go to church.
Mm-hmm. So
you felt a barrier.
I believe because you feel judged and you feel like because you don't fit into what your church is supposed to look like or feel like to you, you feel like an outcast. You feel like, you know, all eyes are on you. You're not good enough to be there. And sometimes people don't mean, their intentions are not to make you feel like an outcast, but you do. You feel judged if you're not saved, if you're not looking a certain way, you know, you feel shunned. But I think, you know, the church can do a better job of community work and not just be a Sunday morning fix, you know, go out into the community, collaborate with some agencies, do work outside of, you know, again, just having members and, you know, wanting people to join your church, you know, go out and do some community work, go, you know, feed the homeless or, you know, clean up, you know, visit some of these other agencies and try to be of assistance other than, you know, bringing people to church, because people want to know that you love them beyond coming to your church.
What they can do for you.
We're
meeting tithes and offer.
So we can meet some of those basic needs, you know, and show people that I love you and not I love you if you're a member of my church. So I think being more involved in the community and being more people oriented, going outside of the church to draw people with love and acts of kindness. So, you know, I see what we, you know, said earlier, love is action. It's not just I love you when you're here, but I'm going to come out to you because I love you where you are in the streets and in your darkness and in your weakness and in your sicknesses. So I think sometimes the church can do a better job of reaching out and going out and not knocking on people's door to get them to come to church.
Right. So let me ask you this. We talked about on the floor, you know, you talked about how you, you know, you got treatment and all this. What part of the church on your road back to recovery? What part of the church? I mean, what did they do in your particular case that helped you on your road back to your road to recovery?
I would say, I wouldn't necessarily say the church per se, but it was my dad who was a representation of the church, but he was someone that never gave up on me. And no matter what I did, no matter where I was, he was always willing to, you know, to bring me to church and to let me know that God still loved me and not judge me. So it wasn't necessarily the church, but it was the God that he served that gave me hope and to where I felt like even when I gave up on me, God didn't give up on me, and just to see the prayers and just to see how he never gave up on me and how
now,
he
and I
was clear, always praying
He didn't give up
me.
On even though he was disappointed in you, he still did not give up on you.
Never gave up to the very end.
Right. And that's what I want our viewers to know. We can be disappointed in our kids. We can be disappointed in somebody we've helped, and they done went back, you know, in an abusive relationship, they done went back to drugs. We can be disappointed, but still, I always say don't give up. Always be that open door because you never know when they going to come back. You never know when this is the time they're going to make their minds up. Yeah, we all done it. Everybody said, Lord, if you ever get me out of this, I ain't going to do it. Everybody did it. Everybody. And everybody went back. Everybody.
One thing I do want to clarify, though, when I say he was always there and never gave up, there were moments that he did show me tough love because you can't enable a person. And even though sometimes, you know, you have people save, people take your, you know, you being saved as being a pushover or I can just do anything because they're you know, they're saved and they're people of God. But we have to be careful with that as well, not to allow people to use us, not to enable people's actions. But, you know, there were times where he did give me tough love. But because I knew that he loved me, I was able to even, you know, get past some of those. Because at the time, I'm like, well, how could you do A, B, and C? Well, sometimes you do have to hold people accountable, even in their sickness, even in their, you know, dark times. You have to hold people accountable for their actions, but you don't lead them, you know. So I just want to clarify that sometimes love doesn't always look like love.
Right.
And once a person, once you know that a person loves you and they've shown you in other ways, then you know this person loved me, but I need to get it together.
So I wanted to, you know, clarify that, you know, because, you know, like you said, we have to, you know, this mental illness, I mean, it's out there, and we have to make sure that we can meet the need. You know, we have to meet the need. You know, the Bible said that which is natural comes first. then the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
We have to meet the need, the human need. Don't come, somebody come to you. Don't be preaching them. If they say they're hungry, they're not trying to hear Jesus. They want to see if you go pop up a can of Vienna sausages or give them some crackers or give them something so they can feed their
mm-hmm.
hunger. Now, when they got a full belly,
mm-hmm.
now they can concentrate and think. But right now they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't thinking about that. They thinking about when I'm going to get some food in my belly.
Mm-hmm.
And guess
prime
what?
Example.
They'll be more receptive to you the next time
yes,
as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And like you said, it has to be, we have to do it with wisdom.
Absolutely. That just remind me, though, there is a guy in our neighborhood. When I first encounter him, you know, he's a noticeably active user. And the first time he approached
mm-hmm.
me, I didn't realize who he was. Come to find out, you know, I gave him some money and, you know, come to find out he was a user. I have yet to encounter him where I haven't asked him, you know, I won't give you any money, but I will buy you something to eat. And I always do that. And people are like, why are you still, you know, buying him? Because you know where we go, he's still hungry. You know, it's not hurting me to feed him. And because he is a person that I used to be, I have even more compassion that, yeah, he's in this situation. You know, we don't know why he's in this situation, but he is. But just because he, you know, is an active user, may have mental illness, I don't know. But it's not going to kill me to buy him a hamburger. And
right.
So
every
they time
still
I
hungry.
Feed him, they're still hungry. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I do that all the time. Because
mm-hmm.
when every time I see a person that's, you know, out there like that, I instantly see my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want somebody. Yeah, and I would
mm-hmm.
want somebody to do something for him. Don't leave him out
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah, I know he was in the trash can or whatever, but I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes nothing away from you. Now, if you don't want to do it, then that's fine. But don't knock somebody else that decides to have compassion,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference between compassion and feeling sorry for somebody. Feeling sorry for somebody is
mm-hmm.
when you feel down about them because you can't help their situation. Feeling compassion is when you're doing something to change the situation. I said that before.
Mm-hmm.
You will find nowhere in the Bible that Jesus felt sorry for anybody. It said Jesus had compassion because he was always trying to make their
mm-hmm.
situation better, even with children. Children are compassionate. Children don't feel sorry. Children are
mm-hmm.
compassionate because if you notice when we were down and we're going through, what our kids do, they try to give us a hug. Oh, mommy, it's going to be
mm-hmm.
better. They try to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, they try to do something to make the situation better because children are compassionate. They show compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what we need to do.
Absolutely.
As a church,
absolutely.
Show compassion. Don't be so judgmental because today it was them. Tomorrow it might be you, and it might have been you yesterday. And so you
mm-hmm.
know the struggle because you've been through it.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking
there's
of
a chapter
that,
in my
don't
book
you think
where
it would be?
Oh, I was just saying there's a chapter in my book that the title is "But for the Grace of God, There Go I," because it was me.
Yeah, I did. Yep. And I highlighted something in that area, too. So don't you
mm-hmm.
think that if the church would be more transparent, and when I say the church, people who have been through whatever it is they've been through, their trauma, and they share it. You know, we ain't telling you to get out there and tell all your business, you know,
mm-hmm.
but at least be transparent enough for them to see hope. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, if she went through that and this how she looked, then there's hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with giving people
mm-hmm.
hope? Why is it that we
and
got
absolutely.
To feel like we got it all in a bag of chips?
Sometimes I think people are so far removed from where they used to be that they forget what it's like. And I know there is a scripture that says we're overcome by the words of our testimony, but sometimes, you know, and I'll even say me for an example, there were times where my testimony got old, so I stopped telling it. I'm like, that's no longer, you know, God brought me out. I'm tired of talking about how I used to be on crack, you know, and not understanding that somebody still needed to hear that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we are moving so far along that we forget that people are not where we are. And we forget that, you know, I'm one paycheck away from being homeless, or I'm one, you know, health crisis away from, you know, being, you know, some, you know, bills backed up because I had a health emergency or a health crisis. So I think sometimes we just forget that, you know, God showed us grace and mercy, and we have to be able to do that for other people. And sometimes we just, you know, we forget, or we just, you know, not in the mental space to recognize that we are judging and we are, you know, on our high horse. And it does take, you know, constant reminder that that was once you, and that could very well be you tomorrow.
So right. Just, and, you know, and get away from the pride, because sometimes mm-hmm. a lot of people don't want to share because they're embarrassed that they fail, mm-hmm. whatever way they fail, that they fail. Okay, you the first, you're not the first person, you know, mm-hmm. and you're not going to be the last. But guess what? God saved us to help somebody to be, no, he blessed us to be a blessing. So why mm-hmm. not share, you know? And so we have to, you know, yeah, you may not know people, you may not want people to know where you come from. Okay, but you got, then now you have totally missed the purpose of your calling. You totally missed the purpose of why he saved you. He brought you out to mm-hmm. help bring somebody else out.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes our stories are not always easy to share. You know, it took me 27 right. years to finally be able to share my story. So sometimes, because we're not healed and we're not in a place where we want the world to know our mess and our, you know, dark places. So it takes, you know, again, being in a place where God can speak to you, and you know that it's God and you know that it's your time. Because, again, there were times where I would share my story along the way, but I really didn't want people knowing that about me, because it was still a sense of embarrassment or a sense of, you know, humility that I have to open up and be transparent. I don't want people to know that about me. You know, especially mm-hmm. in professionally, I don't want the people on my job to know that. So it took being, having the courage, first of all, and just being in a place where God can speak to you and say, this is what I want you to do, and go forth unafraid and opening up your life and open. Literally, my life is now an open book. But a year or two ago, I wasn't in a position to say, okay, I want everybody to know. You know, now it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm not holding back. What do you want to know? But it takes knowing that that is God's will, and knowing that it's just the timing, because it's a difficult thing to do, because people will judge, and, you know, and again, people will take things that you've done and hold it against you. So you have to just know that, you know, when God says do something, that you just have to be obedient, and he'll handle the rest. So, again, mm-hmm. there were moments where I would share my testimony. There were certain people that I would talk to about in my life. My life was an example of holiness, but many, many people didn't know that about me. And so, mm-hmm. You know, you have to allow people to get comfortable in sharing when they're comfortable sharing. Or they
yeah,
won't be effective.
Exactly.
You know, I just feel like this was the time, you know, this was God's time and not mine. So that's the important
right.
thing, you know, God's time.
Right. God's time, exactly. And what I mean by them sharing is get to the place, like you said, being healed. Because if you're still
mm-hmm.
there, you know, God always
mm-hmm.
has a
Absolutely.
Realm. It may not be you, but it's
uh-huh.
going to be somebody else. And because we want to make sure that the people are whole, because we have a lot of broken saints.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We got a lot
hiding
of broken saints.
Behind the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got mm-hmm. a lot of broken saints. And then you wonder why when they say praise the Lord, it's the way they say it is such a vowel sound behind it, you know, because you could feel the spirit behind it. The spirit ain't
mm-hmm.
matching up with the words, the logos of it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And so
mm-hmm.
that's because we have a lot of broken people that, you know, they can't heal. And so, you know, the Bible said, the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't speak to somebody about healing when I could not talk to people about all the things I went through until I was healed, and I was healed in my memory.
Absolutely.
Because if I tell and I'm breaking down and I can't hardly get it out telling you, then I'm not healed. You know what I mean? And they look at me, you know, next, you know, they patting me and consoling me, really? So we have to make sure, I try to make the situation light as well. We just have to make sure that we are ready and able and willing to, because they coming. I tell people all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, the altar, they coming. They coming. And guess what? Sometimes they go come and try to trip you up just to see what you about. You know, they coming. So we have to be ready. I tell y'all, I used to ask God, you know, why do I always get the women that come up and want to talk to me and stuff? You know, they're the ones that don't smell well. They're the ones that raggedy clothes. They don't. He said, because you go minister. You know, I asked God that because I saw I'm the one. Okay, I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to deal. No, you are beautiful. You know, you don't worry about your situation does not define you. But I had to learn that, and even when I went through the things I went through, you know, that's why I said we have to be careful that we don't re-traumatize people with how we treat them, how we not even treat them, how we ignore them, because sometimes we can be dismissive. We can be dismissive in our own way, and then we want to, you know, well, I'm going to pray for you. No, 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 sis, let's not go there. Let's rewind this and go back. You know, we have to be real. And I always tell people, if you don't know, sometimes they ask them, I don't know. I just tell them, I don't know, but I'll find out. I'm not going to just come up with something trying to sound educated or sound like I got it going. No, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. We go figure it out together. And so when you're real with people, people will see that you're real, even though you say, yeah, I'm saved, sanctified with the Holy Ghost, but I'm real. I deal with everybody. I deal with everybody, no matter what your background is, because, you know, timing is everything. Timing is everything.
Absolutely.
And, Absolutely. And so I want you to tell us about, tell them how they can get, you guys, I want you all to, y'all make sure y'all go out here and get this book. Let me tell you all, I've got this book. It is 207 pages total. I read this book in 2 days. 2 days. I got it on a Wednesday, right? We met on a Wednesday, right? Was it a Wednesday? We met on a Wednesday. I was done with this. Or was it Tuesday? Well, anyway, I started reading on a Wednesday. I was done with this book Friday night. You all have got to, From Darkness to Destiny, Felicia Kirksey, talk about her journey from darkness to destiny, the things that she went through, the process of her healing, all of the trauma, the stuff that even, you know, things, sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves. Sometimes we think about things and, you know, like you saying, you didn't think you were smart enough. Well, then you got your schoolmate that was watching the other platform said, yeah, she was smart in fourth grade. He even put the teacher names out there that who you were smart, you know, in your classes. And so, yeah, Miss Elam's in fourth grade, Mrs. Lederman's fourth grade class, Miss Elam's fifth grade class.
I didn't see none.
He done put them out there. So you have to go back out to the Facebook and look at all the comments.
I'm going to have to go back and look because
Go back out there.
Wow.
He done put them out there. And so we have to just make sure, you know, that we are there to help people. And sometimes we just have to speak life. You know, I like, again, as I said on the other platform, that you were able to, each of your children, you spoke life. You spoke positivity in them and how they were your rock. And, you know, and that's good because we need that. Everybody can, you know, anybody can say something bad. It don't take nothing for somebody to say something bad about a person. But to find that one good, you know, even as a church, when people come into us, find that one good to speak because they're already feeling bad. They already know they're messing up. They already know they're in sin. They already know, you know, they got shortcomings. But they already know that the devil is beating them over the head with that. So what we need to do, we need to take that one good that we know and we see, and we need to blow it up for them. That's how we're going to help the community.
One of, And so, you know, I work with kids in an alternative education, and these are kids that you can't, you know, function in traditional classrooms. And one of the things that, you know, it was one of, you know, teachers see them as a problem, or, you know, they can't do, you know, ADHD, attention, behaviors, acting out or whatever. And, you know, as a mm-hmm. therapist, as a social worker, you know, that's one of the things we, you know, you want to minimize, you know, the negative, and you want to highlight the positive. Everybody has something good. Everybody has something positive. And when you bring those things out, and sometimes we have to search a little bit harder, and then some folks than others, but you know, especially with kids and with children, you highlight, you know, the positive. You highlight the things they are good at, and, you know, you get on their level. You show interest in things that they're good at. And so, you know, to build up their self-esteem and their confidence, and that goes a long way. That goes a long way when people can see mm-hmm. the good in you and not all of the negative things that you're doing. And it could just be acting out, or nobody has ever told you how good you were. Nobody has ever, you know, recognized that, you know what, you really have a great singing voice. You may be clowning in class, but you can sing. Let me hear you sing. And so sometimes we just have to make people feel good about even the smallest uh-huh. thing, you know, just to get them, you know, feeling confident. You know, maybe they acting out because they can't read, you know, show them, you know, maybe they can draw real good. Or, you know, just those simple things that you win people over, and then you can start working on other stuff. So,
right. Win them over first, because one thing about kids, if they don't think you care for them, they not going to learn from you.
At all.
You can give them,
at all.
You can teach till you blue.
All the strategies you
get
want.
Nothing.
You can give them all the strategies you want, but when they don't feel like you care, you're absolutely right. They're going to
mm-hmm.
intentionally get put out your classroom. We definitely have to see the good in people. And, you know, children especially, they need us to not give up on them because they may feel out of place or acting out or can't do whatever. So, you know, kids, grown-ups, you just don't give up on people. That's just you don't know what these kids are going to turn out to be. You don't know what people are going to turn out to do and be if they just have I always say, you know, a kid just needs one person to think the world of them, just one,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
And that goes for adults too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we all need that.
Awesome. Yes, we do. We do. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. Before we log off, I want you, Felicia, to give them your name. I want you to give them the name of your book. I want you to give them your website, how they can reach you, and if you want to give them your Facebook page for them to like you on Facebook as well. Can you
okay.
share that information with the viewers?
Absolutely. I am Felicia Kirksey. I am the author of From Darkness to Destiny. You can find my book on FeliciaKirksey.com. You can find me on Facebook, Felicia Kirksey. You can also find me on Instagram at MissButterfly777.
Awesome. Thank you all. Thank you for this discussion, our viewers. Also, you can go out on our website, jadasa.org, and you can be able to click on the flyer where it says the Elations Radio Blog Talk, and you can go to any of the previous Blog Talk programs as well as tonight's and listen again and share, and also the platform where we were on Facebook and YouTube. It will both be on the website. So, Ms. Felicia, you can also direct other people that you know, your family, your friends, to the website
mm-hmm.
or the social media pages. And remember, it's Jadasa 24/7, 365 days, all day, every day. With that being said, I want you to be safe, I want you to be well, and I want you to be whole. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Some hearts, I didn't mean that too. before I knew pain, before I knew fear, before I knew sin, before I lost my innocence. Life was simple then. I'm broken for sure. My heart and my head at war. So I realize with everything I've tried, nothing fills the void.
To the end.